Well, there's always lots of talk, and there certainly will be more during the Trump administration about the constitutionality. Is certain actions that the government takes constitutional or unconstitutional? And usually when we think about that term and that sort of legal framework, we're talking about, of course, the federal constitution, the U.S. Constitution. But there are a lot of other constitutions out there. Every state has one. And when we talk about the protection of individual rights and liberties, oftentimes it's actually the state constitutions that do a better job of that. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is an expert on state constitutional issues, and he's written a piece recently that you can find at The Unpopulist talking about exactly why state constitutions are many times better than federal constitutions. He is Anthony Sanders. He's the director of the Center for Judicial Engagement at the Institute for Justice, and he joins us now here on the program. Anthony, thanks for taking some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Eric. Appreciate it.
You've had me on your podcast in the past. It's been a little while, but I guess I'm having you back here, returning the favor by having you here. Anthony's a longtime friend of mine. Really glad to have him here on the show for the first time. Again, Anthony, really fascinating piece that you've written. People can find it at The Unpopulist. That's a Substack. You can just Google The Unpopulist. Look that up. Ran about a month ago, talking about the ways in which state constitutions are better at constraining executive power and defending rights. So let's start with this. I mean, just in broad strokes, what is it that state constitutions do better than the federal one?
Yeah, well, they can do almost anything better. They don't necessarily do things better, but they can. So the important thing to keep in mind with our system of federalism is we have the U.S. Constitution, and that's the highest law of the land in every way, and it falls to the U.S. Supreme Court usually to figure out what it means. And so if you're talking about the federal government, an act of Congress, a regulation of some kind, then it's going to only be the federal constitution that constitutionally can overturn that law. Your state constitution isn't going to help. But the federal government is not the only government, believe it or not, in this country. We have state governments, we have local governments galore all over the place. Most law, the overwhelming amount of law in this country, is at the state and local level. And when you get to that point, your own state constitution can have as much to say about the enforceability of that law or that practice or that whatever at the state or local level as at the federal level. And so as Judge Jeffrey Sutton, who's a federal judge, but he writes a lot about state constitutions, likes to say, if you're challenging a law at the state or local level, you get two free throws. One is under the U.S. Constitution, and the other is under the state constitution, and yet so often we forget about that second free throw. And so that's why I wrote that piece at The Unpopulist to try to get people to understand that that's in the mix as well.
I want to drill down into one of the specific examples that you raise in your piece, Anthony. It's really like a practical example here. You talk about privacy protections that are oftentimes more robust under state constitutions, and I thought the point that you made about drug dogs in particular was really interesting. So tell us a bit about that if you can, because this is one area where the U.S. Supreme Court has kind of differed from what state courts have said as they've interpreted their own constitutions.
Right. So the U.S. Supreme Court has basically said a sniff's not a search. So if a drug dog is brought by your property and it alerts, you have basically no option but to let the police search your property if it's, say, a roadside stop or you have a bag somewhere, and then often can lead to very innocent people having their property seized and worse, such as if you have some cash and a drug dog alerts and that cash is perfectly legal, and yet the cop thinks, well, this has to be mixed up with drugs because of the drug dog, and then you're in a civil forfeiture proceeding. At the state level, often that can't happen because some state courts have said a sniff is a search, and it is subject to constitutional review, and so that's an instance of where your state constitution is going to give you a leg up on protecting your rights that the feds haven't allowed.
We're talking with Anthony Sanders. He's the director of the Center for Judicial Engagement at the Institute for Justice. He's also an attorney for IJ. Of course, IJ does lots of fine work on many of these same issues, protecting civil liberties, defending people from civil asset forfeiture, fighting eminent domain, all of that. Now, Anthony, one of my favorite parts of the U.S. Constitution, of the federal Constitution, is the one that says, you know, well, look, there's a lot of enumerated rights. We're not spelling them all out here in the Bill of Rights. We've got a lot of other stuff that is also protected. And, you know, it's not necessarily all written down. States, you know, sometimes that's a tricky area in federal constitutional law because it is kind of fundamentally murky. You make the point here that states have done a much better job than in many cases of kind of spelling out and being quite clear about what rights people have, and that helps when people go to court to defend those rights.
That's right, because not every right that is going to be important is going to be written down in any constitution, whether it's the U.S. Constitution, state constitution, whatever. And yet we all understand that there's very important rights out there that aren't written down. And so one right we're very worried about at IJ that is not usually written down is your right to earn a living. And at the federal level, the U.S. Supreme Court has been quite terrible in recent decades on protecting the right to earn a living. But in state courts, that can be different. So, for example, in Georgia, just a couple years ago, the Georgia Supreme Court ruled that the state's, I'm not making this up, the state's lactation consulting license, where women who help new mothers figure out how to breastfeed, basically, had to go get a license from the state to do that. The court ruled that that was unconstitutional under the Georgia Constitution, which has a higher level of protection than the U.S. Constitution as interpreted. Unfortunately, that law probably would have been upheld in federal court, as ridiculous a law as it was. So we litigate those cases. That was a case of ours. We litigate those cases in many states that have their judiciary and their constitutions have a higher level of protection for that right and unenumerated rights and many other unenumerated rights.
Really interesting stuff. Folks, check it out in more detail. You can find Anthony's piece at The Unpopulist. That's a Substack. Find it there. The headline on that piece is state constitutions are far better at constraining executive power and defending rights than the federal one. Anthony, thanks for talking us through it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Eric.
And once again, that's Anthony Sanders. He's the director at the Center for Judicial Engagement at the Institute for Justice. Check out their work online at ij.org. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Bam. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.